Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets' Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here. YouTube.com/Steve and Larson. Right now, Larson on YouTube, I'm telling you, they got to hit that subscribe button because we're on the road to 182,000 subs.
Yeah.
A very important milestone for us because we've been sitting at 181 for like a long time now.
We have.
With all this YouTube sub glitch business. And so we're really excited to be 230 subs away from 182,000. And if we get that by the end of the year, we're going to have a big old pizza party with cake and live stream gaming.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys will be able to enjoy all that with us.
Yeah.
Not literally the food.
No, that's
you
all
can't
for us.
Can't have any of the food.
Speaking of which, I'm hungry already.
Really?
Yeah, man.
I like a good egg sandwich. Egg on fiber wheat.
I had a serving and a half of oatmeal with some sunflower seeds and some chia seeds.
So you essentially ate absolutely nothing. That's zero. That's like, that would just make me more hungry. I would be angry and mad if that was my breakfast.
Usually I have blueberries in it, but we're out of blueberries.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like blueberries. I like them in muffins, but that's usually just because there's a ton of sugar and lard placed in them.
Yeah, pretty much.
I love blueberry muffins, though, man.
Usually, days I work out, I'll have a protein-packed breakfast, but today is not a workout day.
Oh, okay. Right on. Let's see here. I'm bringing up the notes. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. All the lovely patrons out there. We've got, 40 of them watching right now this live stream. You can be one of those patrons as well, participating in chat, talking with us in the pre-show and the post-show, participating in chat trivia for $5 a month. And if you do the $10 patrons today, August 31st is the last day to sign up for the $10 Patreon mark to get your postcard signed
sent
by
out.
Me and Larson.
Sent out this.
Sent out this next week.
Yeah.
So if you do it today, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees. Oh, and this the shirt you're wearing right here. You want to know where you get that Going In Raw shirt?
Give Patreon. Give us $50. We'll give you a shirt.
$50.
Just have to do it for 1 month.
Exactly. We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees. Ooh, big sale starting tomorrow?
Yes, Friday.
Starting Friday through Labor Day weekend.
At Pro Wrestling Tees, 15% off, I believe.
That's right. ProWrestlingTees.com/Going In Raw, but it applies to every place on Pro Wrestling Tees.
But here's the thing, too. If we sell more shirts, we unlock more designs, which means Coldwater Larson shirt.
Yeah, I think we're kind of close-ish to that.
So after this weekend, we should have new designs available to upload, which means Coldwater Larson shirt will be on the way.
Yeah, usually we get most of our shirt sales during these great...
Yeah.
Sales.
Yeah.
That Pro Wrestling Tees has, so that's great stuff. But we're here to talk about 205 Live and NXT. Another couple of, I thought, very entertaining episodes. There's so much charm to be had, especially in NXT. The way they film it, the way they piece it together, I swear sometimes it feels like it's taped together with really, really strong duct tape.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's like, you know, about to fall apart, but still, it's sort of pieced together with duct tape. But first, we're going to talk about 205 Live.
Yes. Show kicked off with a recap of Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher's.
Jack Gallagher.
For the most part, underwhelming feud, all leading up to a no DQ match, which in kind of surprising fashion kicked off the show.
Yeah.
It's kind of reminiscent of Mustafa Ali and Drew Gulak's 2 out of 3 falls match, their blow off, which kicked off that episode of 205 Live. I thought that should have made an event of the show. I almost kind of think, considering how this ended, this match ended, it probably should have been the main event.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, I definitely agree with that. But, you know, huge new arrival on 205 Live. So, of course, Enzo Amore would have to be the main event.
Well, I mean, I wonder if they just did that so people wouldn't leave after he had his match to start the show. Enzo, that is.
Yeah, that's always a possibility. I don't know. I view Enzo, look. Oh, number one, we should mention this. In the Wrestling Observer newsletter, he pointed out that 205 Live cracked the top 10. It came in at number 10, and that was because – and that was the Mae Young Classic took up the first four spots. So if that's awesome.
That's really
good. If you take that out of the equation, you know, theoretically, 205 Live, assuming nothing else took that place.
Seven.
It could have been up in the,
six or seven area.
Exactly. Yeah. So say what you will. That was Enzo's debut. Say what you will. The crowd does. Look, you and I are not the biggest. He's not a good wrestler.
No.
His promos are becoming tiresome.
Yeah.
But I see the value in that he does perk up the crowd. The live crowds love Enzo.
Oh, I know. And when he was moved over there and I think we both recognize the advantages of having him on the show.
There's a place for him there. It's just not in the main event.
Or in the wrestling ring.
Or the wrestling ring.
But at least they kind of explored that during the show.
They did.
That he's not really up to snuff in the ring to compete
with everybody
else on the roster.
Corey Graves hammers that home endlessly.
Yeah.
But anyways, like you said, the show kicked off with what probably should have been the main event, Brian Kendrick versus Jack Gallagher.
No DQ.
So, which meant there were lots of weapons. Jack Gallagher was, I guess that was his version of street fight attire. Khakis and a blue dress shirt.
But the sleeves were rolled up.
And he had like his hands
taped up.
Yeah. And it was more or less him stalking Brian
the first
Kendrick.
Part of the match, they were brawling all around the arena. Jack had the upper hand. He had this kind of, he was very dispassionate in his disposition.
He was doing his best Anton Chigurh.
Pretty much. He was beating Kendrick all around the arena. Mm-hmm. They make their way towards the announce area. Gallagher starts to kind of take apart the top of the announce table. While he's doing that, Kendrick grabs a kendo stick and hits him with it.
Yeah.
And then from that point on, Kendrick had the upper hand.
Yeah, and then somebody evidently shot Jack Gallagher on the top of the head because, man,
he busted open.
Oh, my gosh. That was coming down pretty. Like, they sort of took a pause to attend to his wound.
Yeah, to make sure it wasn't serious.
It looked like that was when he hit the steel steps.
Yeah.
It seemed legit.
Yeah, his reaction after the last one made it seem like that. Yeah, he was actually hurt after that.
Yeah.
Kendrick did that thing where he trapped someone's foot under the ring, and he started beating on Gallagher with the kendo stick.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Jack was busted open. Kendrick went and got the ring bell from the timekeeper area, brought that into the ring, DDT'd Gallagher on top of it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It was cool, and then he applied the captain's hook with a kendo stick.
Yeah.
But at that point, Gallagher had already passed out. Kendrick wins.
Yeah, ref called it. I thought it was cool. I thought it was neat that, I don't know. I like the story of that match. I like Gallagher just dispassionately going after Kendrick, and then Kendrick just opening up Jack Gallagher.
I know. This is a match where blood really worked for the story of the match.
It really did, which is kind of weird because I wonder if that was an improvised finish. I mean, it could totally have not been an improvised finish. I mean, I could see the finish going down that way, but the blood really did help things. It made you wonder, oh my God, was that really a messed up incident?
Yes.
Anyways. After that, we had Noam Dar, Drew Gulak, and Tony Nese in an interview. I like this. I love the interplay between these three guys.
Yeah,
because Tony Nese completely absorbed with himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was checked out during the interview. He was just counting his muscles. And Drew the facial. Drew Gulak is so Mr. Normal. If you want Drew Gulak body by the end of you can get it by the end of the month.
Yeah.
Like, you're pretty much there.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It was just funny. Like, Drew Gulak's facial expressions crack me up. When he's not like sort of the center of attention, he's always reacting to things.
Yeah.
And they're so understated, but I don't know. They just crack me up.
When the Noam Dar was saying that he lost to Enzo, not because Enzo won, but that he was out partying too much.
That's right. Yeah, he was hungover.
Yeah. So he blamed his loss on that.
Yeah. Next up, we had Rich Swann versus Arya Daivari. Was this their rubber match? Was this number three for them?
I don't think so. It's just number two.
Was it number two?
Because the last time they had a match, TJP came out, distracted Swann,
right.
So Daivari picked up the win. I don't think
they didn't do one after that?
No, I don't think so.
Was Daivari injured or something? I thought they did something after that.
Last week, that was 2 weeks ago. Last week they had the segment backstage between
Swann
and TJP.
Oh, that was just the segment backstage. Okay,
but there was no match.
Right, okay.
So TJP comes out on commentary. Daivari does
still on his crutches.
Yeah,
and his knee
wrapped up. Daivari does one of those picture-in-picture promos.
Mm-hmm.
still pretty good.
Yeah. Oh no, I always love those. I don't know. I really I'm a mark for Daivari. I like Daivari a lot.
Yeah, he's pretty good. The match was pretty decent.
What's his face? Rich Swann still with another pair of those goofy glasses.
They just don't look comfortable. That's the thing. He had to adjust them halfway down the ramp.
Oh, that's so annoying. That just bugs me. At one point, Daivari comes out and grabs one at and TJP on commentary was noticeably faced towards Rich Swann. He was putting him over quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Saying, you know, he's a great competitor, and he's sort of downplaying the animosity that might be brewing there in their little competition. Daivari comes out of the ring, takes one of TJP's crutches, gets on the ring apron. TJP goes over and grabs it away from him. Because of that distraction, Daivari gets back in, and Swan gets the roll up and gets the win. Then Daivari attacks TJ Perkins. TJ Perkins gets into the ring, and
he's found a miracle cure.
Seemingly. You know, whatever knee tonic he was sold,
yeah,
seemed to be working because he was using, and he was very obvious in showing us that his leg was totally fine. Yeah. He like did multiple kicks with it.
He did a springboard elbow or something,
right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Swan looks at him, and TJP says, "I helped you."
He said, "I helped you."
And so Rich Swan got the other crutch and gave that to Perkins, and
then
left
Perkins
the ring.
Realized, "Uh-oh."
Ooh.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. So, anyways. Another development. Again, but you know what? Again, no title in the picture. Just some kind of, you know, just they take the sort of their relationship, and they build a story off of that.
Yeah.
It's great. I love it.
Yeah, I do too.
It's good stuff.
By and large, the feuds in 205 Live are some of the most well-developed in all of WWE.
Right, absolutely.
Next, Cedric Alexander, Grand Metalik, and Enzo backstage. Enzo wants to talk strategy. He gets a little whiteboard and starts drawing the ring, I guess. He's going to do some X's and O's. And then Cedric's like, okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Essentially, we know what we're doing. There's a whole different thing we got going on here.
Yeah.
Follow our lead.
Here's the... You know what? I actually did chuckle. Whoever
I did
wrote
too.
This.
I did
because
too.
Here's the thing, dude. If they continue to write Enzo in a quality manner like this, I'll be entertained. I'll be fine with it because he points out, I'm like a permanent marker, you know, and he knows that he has a permanent marker and he has a whiteboard. He starts drawing, like you said, a square, which I guess is the ring. And, but like you said, they say, dude, follow our lead. We've got it. And then Enzo starts in on a metaphor about his mom's cooking as it relates to them. What was it? Cedric was the, I know Grand Metalik was the cheese. Enzo was the sauce. And I don't know what Cedric was, the dough or something. I don't know.
I don't remember either.
But he's talking about a pizza. So, I mean, it's meat, cheese, and dough.
Yeah.
I mean, sauce, cheese, and dough. And then he comes back. And about right when they're about to go to commercial, he starts fixing his game plan. He starts trying to take the permanent marker.
Well, he licks his thumb and starts to wipe it off the whiteboard.
And he gets confused and he doesn't notice it's not coming off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was funny.
It made me chuckle because it was like a little bit... That always happens.
Drop my phone.
I don't know. It's just... That's a little bit of comedy, of a comedic... some comedy that we haven't seen from Enzo before.
Yeah.
You know? It's a little bit more subtle.
Yeah.
I liked it. That was funny.
No, I chuckled too. I thought it was funny. That brought us to our main event. Cedric Alexander, Grand Metalik! And Enzo taking on Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, and Noam Dar. Tony Nese did the thing again. Says you can try to get by, but I have 8 reasons why I'm better than all of you.
Exactly.
Counted his abs again.
Exactly.
I love the muscle puns.
I love that stuff, man. And I got downloaded the theme song.
Oh, there
song.
You go.
Very
just play
happy.
That on a loop at the gym.
At the gym.
In no time, you will look like Tony Nese.
I will go absolutely crazy. Anyways, it was a fun enough match. I mean, you know, we got the sort of, I like the Cedric Alexander Grand Metalik sort of dynamic that they've established.
I hope they're a tag team in the Dusty Rhodes Classic.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
So I think they'll
that'd
do
be,
really
that'd
well.
Be really
I mean,
good.
Whenever they do the dual topes.
The stereo topes.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, it's fantastic. I know.
Their timing is perfect every time.
Yeah.
Neville's watching the match backstage, taking it in on a giant monitor.
Yeah.
after the topes, Enzo goes for a suicide dive, or so it seems, and then Nese hits him with an elbow.
Yeah, Nese rolls in before he gets it off and hits him with an elbow.
And kind of the story of this whole match, especially when Drew was in the ring with Enzo, was Enzo just not be able to keep up.
Right, exactly.
At all, especially the whole first part of the match with Drew. Drew was just wrestling circles around him.
And, you know, okay, I'm going to say this. I know how we feel right now about Enzo and the Cruiserweight Championship. However, if they build that story, if they do, it would be so smart of them to do what you're talking about, where he gets in there with Neville and Neville squashes him, right? But then they spend the next 3 months or so developing his actual wrestling. And there's ways that you can do it without him actually, like, you know, miraculously becoming an amazing wrestling wrestler.
Yeah, he's going to turn to Zack Sabre Jr. overnight.
Right, exactly. There's a way you can do it. And so far with this first, with this sort of first episode, I know you showed up last week, but with this episode, I have some amount of confidence in the 205 Live writing team.
Yeah, they've shown.
They might be able to accomplish.
They've shown they know how to write storylines. It's either going to be something like that, or Enzo is just going to find ways by cutting corners to win matches.
Which is what we saw at the finish of this.
So Enzo realizes that he can't compete purely on wrestling. So
right.
He rolls up Nice and then puts his foot on the ropes.
Right, exactly.
And gets the pinfall victory.
I loved the reaction. They did a really good job directing this TV-wise. They got some great reaction shots from the opponents, from Nice and Gulak especially, when they're like, oh my God, we just got taken. We just got robbed, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And
By Enzo,
exactly. So I don't know what the story is behind the 205 Live writing staff. I mean, the show will always have a problem with that live crowd, but Enzo is one good step, I think, because he's a shot of adrenaline to a live crowd. You know,
yeah.
They wake up when he's on, and the ratings prove that out. And you saw last night, the crowd was a little bit hotter when Enzo shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it seems like it might be a decent fit. It's just as long as they don't rely on what they relied on with Raw, you know, and just in making him just a tiresome character.
I know.
Then it'll make for some interesting TV at least.
Yes.
It won't turn us off.
No.
At least.
Let's move on to NXT, shall we?
Yes. Yes.
So the show opened with Sanity and a bunch of security guards beat up in the parking lot.
Yeah, and then sort of in the distance you can see some people walking away from it.
I didn't notice that.
Oh, it might have just been students. But I saw like two white shirts walking away. And then later on when Ring of Honor showed up, Fish and What's-His-Face were wearing, their undershirts were white anyways.
Kyle O'Reilly, yeah.
So I don't know.
Could be.
Maybe. Honestly, it could have just been students milling about.
Yeah, who knows. William Regal comes out and surveys the scene.
Yeah.
He seems put out by the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. He was put out a lot this episode.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
So then we get the opening NXT package, come to the ring. Drew McIntyre comes out.
Hold on. You know what would have made that opening segment, though? Because they obviously can't show Nikki Cross being beaten up.
Yeah.
But if Ring of Honor had placed her in a position she couldn't get out of, like on top of a bus or something. You know what I mean? Like, oh, how is she going to get down from here?
Yeah.
So we can beat up the rest of these guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it makes it so obvious, like she rolls with them and then she's just not there because she can't get beat up.
Yeah.
You know, they need to do something.
One thing
with
we
it.
Didn't mention in NXT is that they changed the graphics for the show to include Enzo. And it's very striking.
Right.
It's very striking because you see all these spectacular cruiserweight moves. And I think it's one of him coming down the ramp, one of him dropping a promo, one of him dancing.
Doing that horrible dance of his.
Yeah.
And it's almost comical. It's almost like somebody did that on YouTube, you know? Like
did their own version
on YouTube to like juxtapose how ridiculous it is that he's there. But I'm glad you brought that up.
So anyways, going back to NXT, Drew McIntyre came to the ring.
And
his
he's
first promo
so manly.
As champion.
Yeah.
And yes, he is a man.
He's almost too manly. I've mentioned this in pre-show. He's kind of cartoonishly manly.
He's really manly.
Yeah. They're doing the, oh, I'm going to fight and challenges and step up and be a man.
Yeah, he's pretty much said, if you want a shot at this title, come on in.
Step up and be a man.
Ask me like a man, eye to eye, face to face.
He's
almost, you got it.
Almost too manly. He's almost kind of cheesy manly.
A little bit. So Roderick Strong comes to the ring.
Yeah.
He's got a new Titantron.
Oh, man. He is so nerdy.
So he comes in and he says, after I defeat Bobby Roode tonight for disrespecting my family, then I'll be that man that challenges you. So we step right up to Drew.
Yeah.
And Drew says, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You're the man. Challenge me, step up. But are you going to be able to get hit like a man?
Yeah.
That's what It's a terrible Drew. But it's just it's just a shade, just a hair too much, man.
I don't know.
He needs to dial back the man
a
little bit.
You look at Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
He is a man.
Oh, he's the most man.
He might be the most man of any man.
It's too much man. But then you look at Roderick Strong, and I'm like, you need to man up a little bit. You need more man.
I think it's just so more. Nerdy. Well, yeah, I mean.
Here's the thing. No,
in the ring, Roderick Strong is the man.
He's one of those guys who I will always get geeked out for one of his matches. And that can carry you a long, long way. A long, long way. Number one, and I don't think it's going to be a concern that long, though, because he's totally joining up with those Ring of Honor guys. That is plainly obvious.
Yeah, they kind of made it seem like that might happen.
And they did so. It was kind of on TV, but then did you see his backstage interview afterwards?
No.
He was laying it on thick where he's saying stuff like, after tonight, we'll get to it after we finish the show recap.
All right, we'll talk
about it. But anyways, yeah, Roderick Strong says, you know, I'm going to beat Bobby Roode tonight, and then I'm going to take your title.
Yeah.
Next up, we had Ruby Riott and Peyton Royce. Ruby Riott's grown her hair out. She looks cooler.
I noticed that, too.
She looks, like, really cool with her hair growing out like that.
She seemed somewhat, like, distracted beginning of the match because she kept on having to get the hair out of her face.
Yeah.
She was still getting used to it.
Yeah, it was a good look
for
her.
It felt like her hair grew a lot in a short amount of time.
Right?
Like a span of a month.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird. But you know what it was? Like that last match we saw her in, she had it up in like sort of
Elvis
do.
Yeah.
Rockabilly do, if you will. She looked like a million bucks. Yeah. So I love Ruby Riott. I think she's great.
Yeah. Did you mention who she wrestled?
Peyton Royce. Yeah, I love Peyton Royce. Yeah, they're both fantastic. Great. She's good.
This is actually a pretty fun match.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Kay got involved towards the end.
Dude, that boot was stiff. Ruby Riott sold the crap out of it. Yeah, she went down hard. The entire crowd gasped.
I know.
That was fantastic.
Billy Kay pulls Ruby out of the ring and gives her a giant boot to the face.
Right.
Great sell job. Ruby gets put back in the ring. Peyton Royce hits the perfect plex for the win.
Yeah, I love the perfect plex for one thing. And it was good stuff. I can't remember if there was any. Was there any stank after this? I don't think there was any stank.
Not really. The iconic duo we're celebrating. They're gonna keep going with this feud. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some sort of handicap match in the near future.
Well, yeah. I mean, we had Ruby Riott
or Ruby Riott finds herself a tag team partner.
Ruby beat Billy Kay.
Yeah,
and then she took a loss against Peyton Royce because of Billy Kay. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of even Steven right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, either a handicap match or I could see Regal saying, hey, find a partner, and Ruby Riott saying, I don't need a partner, I want them both.
Exactly.
You know, going that route. That'd be great. Speaking of William Regal.
There's a lot of Regal in this episode.
Oh, yeah. It's a very Regal-heavy episode. I'm not going to complain about that, though. He's giving an interview, and then Cassius Ohno comes in, and he says he's the most relatable person just by the way he talks.
I know.
Like, he literally could just sit here with us and be
so often when wrestlers give promos or even do anything when they're on camera that you can tell they're kind of putting on a voice.
Yeah, sure.
That's just...
That literally just
voice.
Seems like
he
him.
He just talks.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, he said, I got something on my mind. Really want to fight that a day with Tommy.
He says, just to make sure that whatever, what happened last time doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Do no disqualification.
That'd be okay.
That'd be cool.
Is that good? William Regal says, and William Regal like seems legitimately just charmed by how real it is. He says, if you want it, you've got it. And he has a big smile on his face. And then Cassius Ohno it's as if it's really happening.
I know.
It's like they didn't
rehearse, no script. It's like one of the producers said, all right, William Ohno's going to come in during the segment.
Yeah.
And then they go to Ohno and say, Chris, you can go in and ask for an ODQ match.
Yeah.
And then that just happened.
Chris. They call him Chris. That was great. Yeah, no, and then it just happened.
And it just happened.
Yeah, exactly.
No script.
Regal didn't even know he was going to ask for a DQ.
Nope. He didn't know he was, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like an improv class. Anyways, announced Cassius Ohno, Chris versus Hideo Itami.
Yes.
No DQ.
Next good week's stuff. Happening.
Next week. Oh, yeah, that's going to be good. Next up, we had Heavy Machinery versus, I'm glad you got their names here, Jobbers. They're Jobbers. Anyways, Heavy Machinery, they went over.
Yeah.
Somebody asked, I'm going to get to this question right now. All right, somebody asked this. Where
is the ceiling?
Yeah, but I want to make sure that the whoever asked it got a proper shout out. Yeah, they asked GD, man.
No, I have it. I have it liked here.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Dom the Man Hilberg. Oh, hey, Dom, friendos, okay. What's heavy machinery ceiling?
They've already passed it. They have totally.
I like some of the moves they do.
Oh, Karen confirms here in chat. Ruby Riot's hair is extensions. That's apparently one got ripped out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was thinking that might be.
You know, I've put extensions in hair before.
Oh, I thought you, not your own though.
No, not my hair. I've never had extensions.
That's what I thought you were going to say at first.
My wife and one of the kids had extensions.
Okay.
And I did the thing, you lay the track in.
Yeah.
And then they yell at me because I don't know what I'm doing. You
probably have no idea what you're doing.
They ask me to do it and they yell at me. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
He yelled that all the time. Let's see here.
I like Heavy Machinery's finisher.
No, okay. So here's the thing about Heavy Machinery. Here's the thing about...
I think Otis, at the least, is somewhat charming.
I would love for somebody to ask us to rebook, to repackage Heavy Machinery.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That is totally the problem because their tag team chemistry is excellent. Their moves in tandem are excellent. They are the best Haas tag team that has come across, I think, NXT in terms of... what they do as a face tag. I mean, Authors of Pain do some really cool stuff in tandem, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wouldn't consider the Revival Hosses at all.
But they have like an early 90s WCW gimmick.
Oh, dude, it's so dated.
Yeah.
They feel so dated, and I cannot take them seriously. I cannot take them seriously at all. And I don't know what the answer would be in terms of repackaging. I just think that a repackaging is necessary. It's surprising to me. It really, I mean, maybe that is what creative in NXT was going for. You know what? We need a tag team from WCW circa 1995.
Throwback.
We need a throwback tag team. I could see that. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there, especially sort of that NXT crowd who knows their history. I could see that maybe they want to appeal to that in that respect instead of, you know, oh, we're going to do something a bit more cynical and edgy and modern and stuff, like, you know, put them in a bunch of leather, like, you know, freaking Sanity or ripped up clothes and stuff. I totally get because those guys, they both come off as very sort of, I don't know, bubbly personalities.
Yeah.
I just, dude, it just doesn't do anything for me.
They're just a little too on the nose with their outfits and the music. If they call them Heavy Machinery, but weren't so literal.
Yeah.
I mean, what? Are they going to come out with a jackhammer next time? You know? Some are they going to roll into WrestleMania on a bulldozer?
I mean, there's a part of me who thinks that...
I mean, I'd actually laugh at
that. Here's what you do. Okay. So you don't repackage them. You just go full bore.
Yeah, go all the way with it.
Video packages in 4:3.
Yeah.
Okay. So not like 16:9, 4:3.
Hard hats.
Yeah. With like an old video camera.
Yeah.
Hard hats.
Jackhammers.
Smiling at the camera with thumbs up.
Yeah.
And then like little like mini movies.
Yeah.
That are like cheesy as crap. I guess that's what you do.
Yeah.
Make it. Here's how you do it. Remember those great Brady Bunch movies they did?
Yeah.
Like with Gary Cole.
Yeah.
And all them. Do it kind of like that. Like, they're kind of out of place.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And, like, you know, they bring in actual people for, like, the mini-movies who are, like, so thoroughly confused.
Yeah.
Maybe you go that route. I don't know.
It'd be something different.
It'd be something different. Yeah, the coming in on the... I like the coming in on construction vehicles.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I don't know if it'd be great.
Well, that'd be awesome. They rolled up to the... in WrestleMania in a bulldozer. Remember how awesome it was when Rusev rolled in with a tank?
Yeah.
Great. Bulldozer.
Yeah.
Cement mixer. A crane. I don't know. Anyways, after that, Regal and Lars Sullivan are in Regal's office. Regal says, all right, we're done with this tag team stuff with you. We're done with this.
Yeah.
Next week, you're going to have a 3-on-1 handicap
match. That's rough. That is rough punishment right there. Regal is sending a guy out to face three guys.
Lars Sullivan seemed totally cool with it.
They're going to be tiny Orlando jobbers. From the local scene there.
Probably Skyler and Hollis.
Skyler, Hollis, and then that dude with like the lion.
Oh, he's a local guy.
He's a local where? Here?
Yeah.
Here? Yeah, that's right, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he like, he was like a Supreme Pro Wrestling, wasn't
he? Yeah, yeah. I think he just had a match for the title.
Oh, no. They should bring out, see, Skyler and Hollis are too good. I want that one guy. How about this? All the guys that Lars has trashed.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Those guys. See if all three of them combined.
That's a good idea.
Can take them on. Lars Sullivan, for his part, had a smile on his face when he was leaving. He just likes to like destroy people and things. I'm surprised Regal didn't say one of them is going to be No Way Jose because you totally trashed him in the.
I know
he was trying to do his like conga line thing,
and you beat him up.
And you beat him up.
Which took us finally to our main event.
I love before commercial, they did the split screen thing with Rude and Roderick Strong like walking, and it just looks like they're walking down like a classroom hallway. At any moment, I expected classes to get out.
Probably.
Everybody just start populating the shot. Kind of interesting how they... So I'm not a huge fan of like the lame duck NXT feud thing, blow-off match. Kind of interesting how they did this, though. So they gave Bobby... Bobby came down as NXT Bobby, by the way.
And they mentioned his move to SmackDown.
Right. But it was, you know, it was Moro with his weird voiceover mentioning it because I think at that point... No, I guess this taping did take place after that next SmackDown.
Yeah, it was
that
2 days later.
It was 2 days later. So maybe it wasn't displaced voice Moro. But I know there was at least one Moro from his kitchen voiceover.
Gotcha.
That I heard. But the interesting thing about this, so the match was really great. We'll talk about the match in a second. But when the match ended, I noticed, because I watched it back this morning, I was looking for like stills for our thumbnail for today's episode. When Roderick won, they never cut back to Bobby.
Yeah, that's right.
There was zero. It was a three count, and then you literally never see Bobby again.
That's true.
You hear the crowd saying, thank you, Bobby.
Yeah.
But it's all reaction shots on Roderick. Drew comes out. Ring of Honor thing happens. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
The match was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
It was another great match. I can watch Roderick Strong all day long. And I'll be honest, I can watch Bobby Roode wrestle.
I know. This is a faster pace than most of Roode's other matches. And
they gave him 20 minutes. This was a 20-minute match.
And Roderick Strong was just destroying Bobby Roode's back with all sorts of backbreaker varieties and then dropping knees to his face.
Yeah.
Bobby Roode did a like a fireman carry into a stunner.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't done that in NXT at all.
Yeah.
I mean, usually when Bobby Roode wrestles a match at NXT, it's a very methodical pace. He obviously has strategy.
Yeah.
And he picks his opportunities to strike, and he does.
Yeah.
We haven't really seen a match like this from him in NXT.
Right.
Maybe he's trying out a more face wrestling style.
Could be.
That he's going to bring to SmackDown. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was nice to see him, you know, go outside of what he normally does to introduce some more moves, wrestle a faster pace.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was super entertaining.
Yeah. But it was very much Roderick Strong's story.
Yes.
And this sort of like odd. I mean, it's in one respect, I kind of appreciate it because it's a very NXT. God, I always want to say NXT now. NXT specific thing, how they bring in the lame duck guy, and then, you know, he's already made his debut and he's just coming in for this formality match. So I kind of appreciate it. That's kind of just part of the NXT universe. But it's sort of bizarre to see. I mean, it's almost like, you know, you think back to guys like Steamboat, Rick Rude, who used to flip flop a lot, and then you'd watch like their last, you know, match in WCW before they went back to WWF. And there's like no resolution really to whatever storyline they're in. So it kind of reminds me of that, but I'm just stunned that they didn't like really give Bobby
a send off. Yeah, I know.
You know, they never, that's so deliberate. They never cut back to him.
I wonder if the reason they, I mean, yeah, you would think they might have cut back to him or something, but I guess I kind of understand why they didn't have a proper send off because
moving straight on into the
story.
They
wanted to end the show with how they ended.
They're just continuing on the story he's done with. Just kind of jarring a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyways, like I was saying, they're focusing on Roderick. Drew's music hit. He comes out with his belt looking, oh, so manly.
And he points and he's like, you got it.
You got it. You
got your
pal.
Match, buddy.
Look at you. You're a man now, man.
And then out comes Re-Dishonored.
He gets attacked by little people. They look so small.
I know.
They look so small compared to Drew, man.
Drew is massive.
And I love Adam Cole, baby. Oh,
that was great early on. Yeah.
This.
Yeah.
When Drew was dropping his promo at the beginning, crowd gave no F's when he said, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole.
Baby!
The entire crowd did the baby. Oh, I was cracking up.
That was great.
Oh, man. Way to undercut like a dramatic promo.
I know. People just want to hear
Adam Cole, baby!
I'm still kind of surprised they didn't have Adam Cole drop a promo.
Well, they're doing the invasion thing.
Oh, I know.
You know. Okay, so let's pick that back up. So Drew gets attacked. He bends over so little Adam Cole can give him a DDT. God. And they're, you know, they're killing him and stuff. Regal comes out.
Well, they start, a couple of security guards come out, they beat them up, and then they start to leave. They hop off the ramp and go backstage, and then Regal comes out and starts briskly walking
lumbering after them.
Yeah.
And they're running away from him like he's the principal, and there are three Spicolis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're just, they're saying, this is our NXT now, this is our era, but they're running away from old man Regal.
I know.
Because he's about to light them up. Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be great. I will guarantee you, Roderick Strong is going to get that belt.
Fill me in on that.
Okay, so
interview.
Basically he was saying, like, a lot of it, I don't know, I don't remember verbatim, but he was saying, especially after tonight, after what happened, I will guarantee I'm getting that belt. That's essentially what he said. And I took that to mean, my buddy showed up tonight, they destroyed Drew, I have this in the bag. The only thing they can do with Roderick at this point is a heel turn.
Yeah, seems
they
that way.
Cannot keep him face. And I understand that Adam Cole looked at that belt, but that's got to be a swerve of some sort. You know what I mean?
I just can't imagine them having
two alpha males.
Yeah.
No, I get you. I know. But I think that there is a distinct plan in place to resolve that somehow so that everybody looks good, everybody looks strong.
And eventually that belt gets him Adam Cole. Because it doesn't. Yeah, it's hard to fathom, and I understand that they have Fish and O'Reilly there to help out Adam Cole. Adam Cole beating Drew McIntyre for the title right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and it seems too soon. It honestly seems too soon.
Oh, for Adam Cole to do that. No, I agree totally.
Like, give him 6 months at least.
I absolutely agree. I mean, maybe there's going to be some sort of, you know, Adam Cole will find some justification for handing Roddy the belt, essentially.
Maybe his idea is okay, well, Drew is a massive man. Mm-hmm. I'll help Roddy get it.
Yeah.
Then swerve Roddy.
Which could be a down-the-line thing, or he could just take the tact of, you know, he's the guy, but I'm the guy behind the guy, and that's good enough for me. Mm-hmm. I'm orchestrating all this stuff.
He's the architect.
Exactly, which in that respect means that he doesn't have to assert himself physically against giant man.
Yeah.
You know, and then eventually we can, you know, The face turns always work best after a heel turn.
Yep.
And for Roderick Strong, I think that can help out a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I honestly think that there is a plan in place because it's NXT and they have plans. But I don't know. We'll see. I thought it was another entertaining episode of NXT. I freaking love NXT.
Yeah, it's a fun show.
It really is. Let's answer some questions now. First from CM, you know, Patreon does this thing now. Like
I know.
Roll over a name and
you
it tells
over
me,
a name and it gives them the person's
gives me their
information.
Stats. Yeah. CM Punk finds it insulting.
This is a great question.
Says, all right, WWE has decided to hold a 32-man heavyweight classic tournament on the network. Who are 8 guys that could realistically be in the tournament? His example is Jay Lethal and Michael Elgin. Who are the final two and who wins it all? A heavyweight classic tournament. I'm going to make a little addendum to this. We're going to make it a super heavyweight tournament.
Okay.
Because Jay Lethal, I know he's technically a heavyweight, but he's no Michael Elgin.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see, and this doesn't necessarily have to be hosses.
Yeah.
I want to see super heavyweights.
Okay.
That's like 3 and plus. 3 and up? Or
yeah.
Two,
no, it's like it's just high 250s. Elgin's not over 300 pounds. Mm. Because if you're saying 300 plus, that really limits the options.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll have
How heavy do you think Drew is?
I think he's 260 something.
Okay. All right.
But he's also 6'5".
Yeah.
And Elgin's maybe 5'10". Mm-hmm. He's not that tall.
Yeah.
So we'll have Elgin. We'll have Jeff Cobb.
Mm. Oh, great.
Brian
Cage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 3.
That's 3.
Another name too, and I forgot it. See, you can think of somebody. I'm going to look up some information.
Let's see here. I always go blank. Oh, Donovan Dijak.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, he somehow got left off the PWI 500.
Hmm.
That's what somebody was saying. I didn't look at it to see if that was actually true.
Keith Lee.
Keith Lee. Oh, Karen has a good point here. Revival didn't get a send-off either.
Yeah, a lot of people mentioned that. A lot of people.
Yeah.
Keith Lee. How many is that?
That's 5. We have 5. Where's the rating Ring of Honor right now? Sonata.
Okay.
I mean, he's in New Japan, but
yeah.
I mean, a lot of these guys have contracts that limit them from coming over.
Well, if we're doing that, have Fale in it.
Oh, Fale. Okay, take out Sonata, Fale. I was going to say Ishii, but Fale's good.
I don't think Ishii's over 240.
Really?
He's short. He walked by us. He's maybe 5'8".
Yeah, but he's dense.
I know. He's probably 5'8", 225 or 230 at most.
5'8", 228, 230?
225 or 230.
He's 5'7", 220. Well done. Well done.
How many is that? Five?
Six.
Alex C suggests Hansen and Rowe.
Yeah, toss War Machine in there.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, that's all good.
Who wins?
Michael Elgin. He is unbreakable after all. It's too early for Keith Lee. Michael Elgin needs to.
I'm going to say Jeff Cobb.
Oh, I love Jeff Cobb. Who doesn't love Jeff Cobb?
Jeff Cobb is phenomenal.
Next question. We already answered Dom the Man.
Undisputed Magnum TA champion Nathan Ragland. Can you guys see Lars Sullivan being NXT's Brock Lesnar? He's a beast. I'd love to see dominate.
I'll say this. I could see him being NXT's Braun Strowman.
Yes.
But Brock Lesnar, there is never going to be another Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, you need someone with the MMA pedigree.
You need, that's like, yeah.
That sense of legitimacy.
Right, exactly. And that's such a rarity. Braun I'm not Strowman. Saying there's never going to be another one. I'm saying it's...
Braun Strowman is probably more likely goal.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Michael Berry. He says, power tank. Pretty sure he means power rank. Love you, Michael Berry. Who's most likely to be the next women's NXT champion?
I'll give you two. Well, here, I'll do this. Number one, Ember Moon. Two, Kairi Sane.
Oh, okay, so you're going to go that way. Okay, all right.
It's really 1A, 1B, though.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Three, Nikki Cross.
Okay.
Four.
Four and five is going to be either Peyton Royce or Ruby Riott.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah.
You think, I'm not going to spoil the Mae Young Classic stuff, never mind. Because, like, you know, people who haven't kept up with spoilers.
Yeah.
So we're not going to talk about that right now.
Yeah.
That guy asks, if you could permanently switch a superstar with their Southpaw persona, who'd it be?
Whoever played Sea Creature. Just so we know who played Sea Creature.
Oh, yeah, right? Wait. So we would just have to figure out who's missing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I would go...
I mean, it's Chet Cheddarfield.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely Chet Cheddarfield.
It's Chet Cheddarfield.
Oh, he's good.
But I'd want to have Chet Cheddarfield and the banker.
Yeah.
Have them both.
Yeah, together, yeah. Disco Gumby has a question. And it's his first time question. He's been a patron for a long time. He says, in regards to rumors that the Mae Young Classic winner will be crowned NXT Women's Champion, do you think it's fair to the current NXT Women's Division for it to go down like that? Considering the winner of the tournament would become champion in a division full of women they've never had to face. If that's the case, then no, it's absolutely not fair. That's why they shouldn't do it that way.
Agreed.
They should do an NXT women's tournament.
Concurrent.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of too late to do it concurrently. But yeah, have a number one contender, or at least a fatal four-way.
Yeah.
Number one contender from NXT, whoever wins the tournament, they fight.
Yeah.
Whoever wins that is a new champion.
There are still tapings to be had.
Yes.
Before the next takeover. Have that match of the next takeover.
Yes.
And have the NXT women's tournament until then. They have to do that. It has to be the case.
Chris Kimmel, do you think there's any chance that Roderick Strong join Adam Cole?
I love tournaments.
And Reed Dragon. Me too. Tournaments are the best. Steve seems absolutely convinced of it. My only hesitancy to agree with him is that the dual alphas.
Two alpha males.
Yeah.
Too many alpha males.
Marky Mark and the Bullet Bunch. What is the deal with Bobby Roode? He's one character on NXT, another on the main roster. Is this WWE hoping we don't watch both or that we can't tell a difference? It's obvious NXT Bobby is what everyone wants on the main roster. Why won't they give the character to us? We talked about it a lot on the SmackDown
recap. I'm optimistic and you're pessimistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll put it this way. I'm not as optimistic as you are pessimistic.
Yes. My pessimism is largely based on history. So,
I'm
and
like,
how they've handled.
Yeah.
Except for Carmella and Alexa Bliss.
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown particularly, I can't think of an NXT call-up they've handled really well.
They've flirted with handling Mojo well. They've flirted with it, but in the end they haven't.
No.
Ty.
I'll say they flirted with handling Nakamura well, but not really. They've treated him like a star. They presented him like a massive star, but they've
tried. I think they've tried with him.
The programs he's been involved in have been not good.
Yeah.
And haven't done much to highlight what he's really good at doing.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand, and I don't know if it's a Vince thing. I mean, Vince has the final word, man. But can he not wrap his head around it's okay to have a heel with a package that people really pop for.
I know.
It's okay to do that.
I know.
I mean, you're already flirting with characters that are shades of gray.
Chris Jericho for half his career.
I know. Exactly. When he started doing the slow talking thing, it's not like they changed, you know, I don't think he ever actually changed his music. Did he?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he did. Cause that's just mark out music.
I mean, the whole list of Jericho thing, he was by the definition a heel.
Mm-hmm.
People popped.
Yeah. No, I know.
It happens. It's fine.
I know.
I don't know. I guess he just, in his mind, thinks there's more money in a face Bobby Roode right now. We disagree, but we're not running the business.
Here's one last question here. You know what? Are we doing questions on? Oh, no. We do that stuff differently now.
Yeah.
D-Generation Lex Luger. He says, Xander here. Do you think Vince is biased against guys who made their name somewhere else and prefers to push homegrown guys more? No.
No.
I think that might have been the case back when it was WCW guys coming in, like 15 years ago, 17 years ago. But, I mean, you know, you just look at, you know, I mean, elsewhere. Look at AJ Styles made his name a million play, you know, most famously.
Yeah, TNA.
TNA. Samoa Joe, you know, big TNA. Push for him. TNA.
Finn Balor.
New Japan. I mean, you know, that's, if you want to consider any of them WWE's biggest competition, you can. And they all got big pushes. Nakamura, you know,
here's a good question.
Same guy who was in New Japan.
Marcius Marks. So I'm sure you guys are aware of Wrestler's Court, where people settle backstage beefs. Back in the day, the judge was Undertaker, Triple H, and JBL.
Undertaker.
Who do you think the judge is now? And what was Enzo's punishment? Apparently, Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Is that guy now?
Yeah.
But you know what? If it's a situation where his peers put him in that position,
I think that's
cool.
That would number one. That would, because in my mind, when I would just pause right there, I was trying to put myself, and I'm not a freaking wrestler, but I was trying to put myself in that position where it's like a guy can command the respect of a locker room. And go out there and not be the best promo guy, mm-hmm. not necessarily be the best wrestling guy,
mm-hmm.
but evidently he's been able to command that kind of respect. I mean, when Seth Rollins was like fiercely defensive of him when he got the wellness policy violation, and he said, no, he is the locker room leader.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes when I would think if a dude back there just has like,
a presence about him.
A presence and a leadership, and a sort of a leadership confidence and an atmosphere of leadership.
Yeah.
Where he's not jacking around.
Yeah.
You know?
Being a professional.
Yeah, he's being a professional. I mean, Tracy McGrady, best player on when he was with Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bill Simmons had a great write-up on him where he says, during that run where they rattled off like 22 row, he wasn't the locker room leader, even though he was
the best player.
The best player.
Yeah.
It was, what was the name? He was a king for a bit. Crap, I forget his name. But he was a role player. He was a supporting player.
Yeah.
It's really bugging me that I can't remember his name. Hilton, no.
I think I read that article, too.
But it was absolutely fascinating that it's like, it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be your best player that's your locker room leader. It's a guy that everybody respects, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And evidently, that's Roman Reigns' backstage. You have to figure also, if you can comport yourself with confidence and composure in the face of going out there night after night and getting all the boos and all that crap on you and subject to every single dirt sheet out there and all the yokels like us, you know, criticizing Roman Reigns at every turn, if you can still comport yourself with that kind of composure, then, you know...
Yeah, I know.
I would think that would command
of your character.
Tons of respect.
Yeah. I'm trying to find out who it was now.
Yeah. Oh, man, because it's going to bug me otherwise.
Was it a Grantland?
That's definitely the article.
Okay, that's just long.
Yeah, it is a really long one.
Hold on, let me do...
Do this, Google...
Oh, hold on. about Rick Adelman. Hold on. I just did a search for leader.
Chuck Hayes. Thank you.
That's right.
Chuck Hayes.
Former, King. Yeah. Chuck Hayes.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff.
That's cool.
Oh, look. Oh, now Chad is looking up. It says, had to be Shane Battier. It's Chuck Hayes.
Chuck Hayes.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyways, is that it? Is that our show for today?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, for lunch. Good. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Patrons, stick around. We'll hang out with you guys for a bit.
Yeah.
Till next time. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.